Welcome to the How To Dressage podcast, and today we're going to talk about how and why to maintain the correct rider position. So when you are riding, you want to have a position that is elegant yet effective. So you want one that allows you to move with your horse in perfect harmony while still being able to give clear and almost invisible aids. Now, if your position is not correct, then your aids can be misinterpreted by the horse, and you will be unable to balance the horse and to influence his overall way of going. Now also, in the collective mark section at the bottom of your dressage score sheet, you'll notice that there is a fourth collective which includes a mark for the position and seat of the rider, the correctness and the effect of the aids. So time that you spend working on your position will not only improve your horse's overall way of going, but it will also gain you a higher collective mark on your dressage score sheet. So in this in-depth podcast episode, we're going to cover how your position affects your balance, how to stand on your horse correctly, and how to make gravity your friend. So let's start by discussing position and balance. So the correct position is correct for a reason. And this is because it allows the rider to balance so that they in turn can improve the balance of the horse. Now, an unbalanced rider creates tension. And this then affects the communication because a tense horse cannot feel and respond to its rider, and a tense rider cannot feel and respond to their horse. And this means that the aids can be misinterpreted or missed altogether. Now, in contrast to that, a balanced rider creates enhanced communication. So it allows the rider to use a lighter and more accurate seat, leg and rein aids. Therefore, it promotes harmony and relaxation. Now, of course, it's much easier for us to maintain the correct position and to sit in balance during the halt and the walk. It's the horse moving underneath us, usually during the trot and the canter, that causes us to lose our alignment and therefore our balance. But it's important to note that it's the horse who gains his balance from the rider, and we shouldn't expect the horse to be responsible for balancing us. So in other words, the rider must be in self-carriage and not have to rely on the horse to support their position. So only once can we balance ourselves do we have a better chance of then balancing the horse. Now next, we want to talk about your posture whilst you are off the horse. Because what we do on the horse and what we do off the horse are not mutually exclusive, so one will affect the other. Therefore, how we go about carrying ourselves off the horse will influence how we carry ourselves when we are on the horse. So, how do you sit at the dining table? How do you sit at your desk when you are working? How do you sit when you are driving your car? How do you stand when you are in the kitchen? And how do you walk through a park? If you are constantly slouching, leaning to one side, hunching your shoulders over, and generally just having bad posture as you move through your day-to-day life, then more than likely, you're going to have bad posture when you sit on a horse. Now, you also need to be aware of your own asymmetry, because just like our horses, we too have a stronger side and a weaker side, a stiff side and a more supple side. And our natural crookedness is often enhanced by us always choosing to do stuff using our strongest and therefore our easiest side. So ask yourself the following questions. Which side do you hold the broom when you are sweeping? Which hand and which arm do you use when you are opening and closing doors? And when grooming your horse, which hand does the brushing? So without actually knowing it, we are constantly making our strongest side stronger and our weakest side weaker. Now, we would never ride and train our horses on one rein only, and yet we do it to ourselves. Now, dressage requires that the horse and rider move together as one. Therefore, your horse is only half of the partnership. So strength, suppleness, straightness, and overall fitness are just as important to you as it is for the horse. So you need to pay attention to your own posture, fitness, and crookedness. And some ideal exercises to help improve in these areas include yoga, Pilates, and swimming. But now we've covered your posture when you are off the horse, let's talk about your relaxation and your positive tension whilst you are on the horse. Because somewhat confusingly, when you sit in the saddle, you need to be relaxed, but also tense. However, the tension that you have should be positive tension and not negative tension. So positive tension is controllable, it's consistent, and it has suppleness. Whereas negative tension is uncontrollable, is inconsistent, and does not have suppleness. So you can't just slouch sloppily in the saddle as though you were at home on the sofa waiting for a pizza to be delivered so you can start binge watching your favourite TV series. This is a completely different type of relaxation. Because in order to maintain the correct position in the saddle, there must be a degree of positive tension, which helps to keep all of your body parts in place while still remaining supple and flexible. Now, the best way to picture this is to imagine a ballet dancer. Because in order for a ballet dancer to display such beautiful movements and poise, some of their muscles must be under tension. But the performance still looks soft and fluid, and not stiff and rigid. So when a rider is able to sit tall, proud, and strong in the saddle, whilst also remaining flexible and supple so as to not hinder the horse's movement, then that is positive positional tension. Okay, so moving on, we now want to talk about sitting or standing. Because we often say that we are sitting on a horse or we are sitting in the saddle. But are we actually sitting? Although this may sound strange, you want to be sitting as though you were standing. Now, there is a famous quote from Xenophon, who was a Greek cavalry commander and a classical horseman. And he said that the man should sit astride the horse as though he is standing on the ground. Now, many riders these days sit on a horse as though they were sitting in a chair, and that is with their bums back and their legs forward. Now, the idea of standing in the saddle as opposed to sitting is due to the fact that we want our legs to be below us. Now, this leads us nicely into talking about the alignment of the body. Now, if you have your body in the correct position and alignment, then from the side, you should be able to draw a straight line through your ear, shoulder, hip, and heel. And this is your vertical line, with each body part stacked on top of one another, running perpendicular to the ground. I like to describe this line as stacking your skeleton. Now, even if you ride with short stirrups, this line must still be maintained. A shorter stirrup length just results in your knee coming further forward, but your heel should still be underneath your hip. Now, secondly, you should also be able to draw a line straight from the horse's bit up through the reins, through your wrist and forearm to your elbow. Now, both of these lines work together. So the ear, shoulder, hip, heel line allows you to give clear leg aids and clear seat aids and to put the horse in front of the leg. And then the bit, wrist, elbow line allows you to connect the horse's hindquarters to the contact. And both of these lines are the responsibility of the rider to maintain throughout all the work and movements. Okay, so now let's start to tie all of these points together and talk about gravity and whether it is your friend or whether it is your enemy. So when we are riding horses, gravity doesn't always work in our favour. I'm sure we've all found ourselves face down in the sand on more than one occasion after an involuntary dismount. But when we adopt the correct position, we can actually make gravity our friend. Now, the whole reason why this ear, shoulder, hip, heel alignment that we've just talked about, the whole reason why this works is because it's based on the natural force of gravity. So when each part of the skeleton is stacked on top of each other, then gravity works to help ground the rider and to stabilize the core. So if you stand on the ground as though you were on a horse, so with your feet apart, your knees slightly bent, and your hands out in front of you as though you were holding the reins, if you maintain the ear, shoulder, hip, heel alignment, you will feel much more secure than if you broke that alignment. For example, by leaning forwards or leaning backwards or pushing your bum back into that chair position. So again, we try not to think of sitting on the horse, we think of standing on the horse. And also, whilst you are imaginary standing on the horse on the floor, if you grow taller in your spine, you will feel more weight drop down through your body. And importantly, this weight isn't forced down. It simply happens naturally due to the gravitational pull of the earth. So overall, when we are in the correct position, we can make gravity our friend, and it helps to make us more secure in the saddle. Now, in contrast, when we lean, when we slouch, or when we grip with our legs, we lose the ability to work with gravity, and instead, gravity will work against us. Now, following on from that, let's now talk about the horse's centre of gravity. So, the correct position keeps you balanced over your own centre of gravity, as well as your horse's centre of gravity. So it aligns you both together. Now you may have often heard that our job is to encourage the horse to step under his centre of gravity with his hind legs. Well, by you sitting correctly, you help to provide your horse with that spot. So when you sit correctly, gravity will cause your weight to fall down, as we've just talked about, and your horse will be able to feel it. And this lets the horse know where the centre of gravity is and where his hind legs need to step. Now, as we've talked about many times before, the horse has a desire to be balanced. So when the horse steps further underneath himself towards his centre of gravity, the balance that he gets from that will reinforce to the horse that it is the correct thing to do. However, when the rider is unbalanced and their centre of gravity is not aligned with the horse, then the horse stepping under will not have the same effect. So hopefully you can now begin to see how all of this comes together. By simply holding yourself in the correct position, you put yourself in a more secure and balanced place. This then allows you to give clearer and more effective aids, helping to promote harmony and relaxation between you and your horse. It also allows you to work with gravity and allows you to align your center of gravity with that of your horse's, helping you to improve the horse's balance further and therefore improve his overall way of going. And this is how such a simple thing as your position can have a massive impact on your riding and on your training. So now we know how important it is, let's now talk about how we go about doing it. So we've broken down your position into 7 positional parts, and we are going to go through each of them individually. So the parts that we've got are your seat, your core and your hips, your legs and your feet, your upper body, shoulders and back, your arms, your hands and your head. Now, the ultimate goal is to have an independent seat, which means that you can move each of your body parts independently in order to aid your horse, whilst the rest of your body parts remain in a good balance and a good position. Now, a helpful exercise is to ask a friend of yours to video you riding in the halt, the walk, the trot, the canter, and even during some lateral movements. And you can then assess each individual body part to see which areas are good and which areas you need to improve upon. So let's dig into these 7 positional parts. So the first one we're going to talk about is your seat. Now, the biggest avenue of communication between you and your horse is through your horse's back. Therefore, it's important that your seat is positioned and used correctly. So you should be sitting in the centre of the saddle, with both seat bones having an even weight dispersal. Now, importantly, your seat should be horizontal to the ground. And this is only possible if the saddle has been fitted correctly and the seat of the saddle also runs horizontally to the ground. So if the saddle has a slight incline or a slight decline, then this will either tip you forwards onto your crotch or backwards onto your tailbone. So if you are struggling to get a horizontal seat, make sure that the saddle is fitted correctly. And unless you are aiding your horse, then your seat should move passively with the horse and it should not hinder or block him in any way. Now, a passive seat should follow the horse's movement and it should not move more than the horse's back does. Otherwise, when the seat aids are applied, they will get lost amongst all the movement and background noise. So only from a correctly positioned passive seat can the horse then learn what the active seat aids mean. And this then moves on to the second positional part, which is your core and your hips. So your hips should be upright. If you tip your hips too far back, it can cause you to collapse in the middle and to round your shoulders. And if you sit with your hips too far forward, it can cause you to tip onto your fork and to arch your back. So a good tip is to imagine your hips as a bucket of water. If your hips tip too far back or tip too far forward, then you will lose some of the water in the bucket. So you want to keep your bucket upright. Now, your hips must also be supple enough to follow the horse's movement. If the hips are tight, then the horse will be unable to fully swing through his back. Now, importantly, This goal of upright and supple hips is only possible if you have a strong and a supple core. And this is because it's your core that controls the movement through your hips. It helps you to maintain an upright posture and generally balances and stabilizes your position and your seat. So without core support, your hips become uncontrollable. Now, many people assume that their core is only their stomach muscles and six-pack abs, when in actual fact, your core relates to every muscle that attaches to your pelvis and every muscle that stabilizes your spine, both on the front of your body and on the back of your body. So if you want to improve your core, you need to improve all of these muscles. Again, if you want to do some exercises to help improve your core strength and stability off the horse, the best exercises for this are yoga, Pilates, and swimming. But now let's move on to positional part number three, which is your legs and your feet. So in order for the legs to hang correctly, you must first be sitting in the center of the saddle with a flat seat, as we've talked about, and you also need to have upright hips, as we've also talked about. Now, once you have achieved those first two points, then your legs should hang vertically and naturally due to their own weight. So you should not try to hold your legs purposely on or purposely off the horse, nor should you try to hold your legs forwards or back unless you are aiding the horse. Instead, just allow your legs to drop, and this will create a passive and a breathable contact with the horse's sides. Now, the easiest way to learn how to allow your legs to drop naturally and in a relaxed manner is to do some riding without stirrups, preferably on the lunge. So you can have a quick Google of different exercises that you can ride and do some work without stirrups. Now, you should also have a bend in the knee to allow the legs to absorb some of the horse's movement. And the knee joint should be relaxed and supple, allowing your inner thighs to rest lightly on the saddle without gripping. Now, when it comes to your feet, they need to be below your center of gravity in order to support your seat and your upper body. Hence why we are standing in the saddle and not sitting in the saddle. And this helps to put you in that correct alignment and self-carriage, and it allows the horse to be more responsive to your leg aids. Now, importantly, although the balls of your feet are resting in the stirrup irons, your weight is not centered in the stirrups. And this is because if whilst you are riding, you look down at your saddle, you'll notice that the stirrup bars are slightly in front of you, near the pommel of the saddle. Therefore, the stirrup irons, which you put your feet in, hang on leathers from the stirrup bars, which as we've just noticed are in front of you, near the pommel of the saddle. So therefore, they cannot be the centre of your weight. So instead, you want the weight to fall to the front of your heels. Don't put the weight in the back of your heels because that can cause the heels to be forced too far down, and that can result in the ankle joint becoming rigid and unable to absorb the movement. And lastly, remember that your knees and your toes should point forwards. Now, moving on to positional part number four, we're now going to talk about your upper body, your shoulders, and your back. So, although you should be sat up straight, you should not be ramrod straight. And this is because your spine has a natural curve, which creates a slightly hollowed area in your lower back. So, in order to sit straighter and taller, whilst taking into consideration your natural body conformation, then all you need to do is simply reach up through your spine whilst keeping your bum in the saddle as though you were like a puppet on a string, and you're going to push the crown of your head a little bit closer to the clouds. And this will help you to sit up straight whilst also sitting up naturally. And lastly, your shoulders should be square, they should be down, and they should be back. And you should keep your torso lined up with your horse's neck. Now, an easy way to do this is to align your shirt buttons with your horse's mane at all times. And you can imagine a beam of light coming out of your open chest, helping to guide your horse in the right direction. This will help you to keep your shoulders square, down and back, and to keep your chest open. So now positional part number 5, which is your arms. So your forearm should maintain that straight line from your elbow through to the horse's bit. And your upper arms should hang naturally, as though they were two columns sitting either side of your upper body. And they should be relaxed with no flexed biceps or tension. Now, importantly, your elbows must remain supple. And this is probably one of the most important joints in your body because it is the elbow joint that connects your seat to the horse's mouth. So if your elbows become stiff or tight, then this will not create a soft and elastic contact for the horse to work into. Therefore, it will make it very difficult to connect the horse's hindquarters to the bridle. Now, your elbows should feel as though they are always going forwards and pushing the horse to the contact, rather than coming back past the body and forcibly taking a contact from the horse. Right, so we're now on to positional part number 6 out of 7, which is your hands. So your hands should be carried as a pair out in front of you, just above and just in front of the pommel of your saddle. They should approximately be the same width as your horse's bit, but they can be carried a little wider on younger and more novice horses. Now, your wrists should be upright and they should create that straight line from the bit through to your elbow without any tension or stiffness. And your horse should not be able to tell where the reins end and where your hands begin. Now, the rein length is held by your thumb pressing on top of your index finger. And the rest of your fingers should be light and supple so that you can give subtle communication aids down the reins. Now, if your fingers are gripping the reins tightly, then any light communication down the rein will be blocked. Therefore, if you want to give your horse an aid, you will need to either grip even tighter or pull backwards on the reins, which is not good. So the aim is to have feeling fingers. And for that to happen, your fingers and wrists must remain soft and supple, and they must be able to breathe with the horse. Right, and the final positional part that we're going to talk about, number 7, is your head. Now, your head is attached to your spine. Therefore, if you drop your head to look down at your horse's neck, or you bob your head as you ride, then this will interrupt the alignment of your spine and that ear, shoulder, hip, heel positioning. Now also, if you look down, this can cause your upper body to incline forwards. It will place more weight onto your horse's forehand, and it can also cause you to round your back, collapse in the middle and to slouch. So instead, look up in the direction that you want your horse to go and keep your eye trajectory horizontal and just imagine keeping your chin parallel to the ground. And this will help to keep your spine aligned and your position correct. Okay, so that now covers all the positional parts and where they need to be. We're now going to talk about consistency. Because one of the worst positional faults that we see time and time again is that of inconsistency. And this is often seen when riders do not pay attention to their position whilst they're riding at home and they just flop around in the saddle. And then when they go to a competition, they suddenly sit bolt upright and try to adopt the perfect position. They create such a change in their position that the horse thinks that someone else is riding them. So remember that if you want to achieve a correct position that is secure and yet flexible, this takes many hours of practice. And if you want to have a good position when you are riding your dressage test, then you need to work on having a good position when riding at home. And this then leads us nicely into the last thing that we want to talk about, which is muscle memory. So when new riders first try to adopt the perfect position, it can often look unnatural and rigid. And this is normal. And in the beginning, you're going to have to really concentrate on maintaining the correct position. Now, a good idea is to start each training session with a positional check-in. And as you are walking your horse and as you are warming him up, you can check each of your positional parts individually and you can put them all in the correct place. And then as you begin to work your horse, you may begin to notice that your perfect position starts to slip away from you, especially in the trot and the canter. And this is to be expected. So all you need to do is during your walk breaks, when you are allowing the horse to stretch and when you are riding the halt, just check your position again and make any necessary adjustments. Now over time, muscle memory will start to kick in and you will find yourself having to correct your position less and less. And very soon, you won't even have to think about how to sit. You will just do it instinctively. Now, when you reach this point, your position will then start to look more natural and more elegant. So, to wrap this episode up, humans have been riding horses for centuries. And over that time, we have learned a few things about how to sit on a horse, and we've included quite a few of those things in this podcast episode. Now, if you want to be more than a passenger on your horse's back, then you need to be able to sit in a position that allows you to give aids lightly but effectively and without hindering the horse's movement or losing balance. So in short, the more correct your position is, the more effective and balanced you will be as a rider, and the easier it will be for you to progress through the dressage levels. Now, if you have any questions when it comes to this podcast episode, or if you have any other hints and tips that you would like to share with us, then please do so in the comments box at the bottom of the relevant blog post on our website. And to make sure that you don't miss out on any of our other free stuff, our books, our training diaries and competitions, then please don't forget to like and follow us on our other social media platforms, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, Twitter, and Pinterest. We truly appreciate you for taking the time to listen to our podcast, and we hope that you got a lot from it. For more, don't forget to check out our articles and other free stuff, which is available on our website, howtodressage.com, and pop by Amazon for our range of dressage books, planners and diaries to help you stay on track with your competitions and training. Bye for now.